Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
On today's program, we'll continue our look at the power of prayer and see how it works to further the gospel and accomplish the will of God in the world. Here is part three of Cheryl's message titled, Untapped Power.
Jesus died and paid the penalty so that any man who wants to be saved only needs to claim the blood of Christ. Prayer causes the work of the gospel and the purposes of God to be brought to bear to the world. Next, what are we not to substitute for prayer? When we are not praying, we are not seeing the work of God. Our faith is not being strengthened. Recently, someone was dogging on Brian. Big surprise there. He's so nice. It's so easy to get to him because he's so sweet. Seriously, he really is. And this person said, Brian preaches too much grace and not enough grit. Grit. Grit is the dirty elements of dirt rather than enabling grace. When we're not praying, we're counterproductive. We are moving men away from God rather than revealing God to them. We are misrepresenting the God who wants every person to be saved. And we are seeing the work of men and not of God. Even the plans of the best men and women will fail. Even the hardest work and the best work of men and women has a limited sphere, a limited product, and a limited time. But the work of God is eternal. We don't want a temporary fix. We want an eternal fix. So we need to see the work of the eternal, immortal, invisible, all-wise God. And we see that when we pray. We want to make Jesus known. And to do that, we give Jesus every man in every situation through prayer. Everywhere. What does this convey to you about prayer when he says, I wish that men everywhere, men and women everywhere, it means that wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, you need to be praying. There's no exemptions, no exclusion clause. Wherever you are, go first to God in prayer in every single situation. And he says, lifting up holy hands. You know why we lift our hands in prayer? Do you know? It's a sign of surrender when we're singing that we surrender to God. It's saying, God, I surrender to you. You do your work. I remember being in a really awful situation. It was really hard, and I wanted to fight. I wanted to fight, and I not only wanted to fight, I wanted to fight to the death. I wanted to win this one. I knew that this group I was working with was making wrong choices and they were going the wrong way. And I was just telling God all the reasons they were wrong. And you know what God said to me? Put your weapon on the ground and put your hands in the air and back away. And I was like, what? God said, put your weapon down. Surrender to me and back away and watch what I'll do. That's a word for us, not just that you've heard on a true crime show. Put your weapon, and that's what he said. I want the men to put away the wrath, which is the fist at the enemy. I want, that's literally the translation, fist at the enemy. I want men to put the wrath, and I want them to put the doubting. I need to do it because God's not going to come through. If I don't do it, God won't do it. Mm-mm. Put it on the ground. Put that weapon on the ground and get your hands surrendered to God. Get ready to receive your orders from God and back away from the situation until you hear from the Lord. Prayer is our surrender to God and the surrendering of our weapons that we think will work. God knows how ineffective they are. Franklin Graham, in his book about the prodigal, I can't remember the name of it right now. It's Rebel with a Cause. I made my boys both read that. He quoted Romans 12:19, which says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." And he said, God said, give me room. Give me room. Back away and let me work. That's why we back away. Let me work in this situation. You're too close. You're too involved. Put your weapon down. Start praying and let me work. And he called it God room. God room. Prayer gives God room. Likewise, Paul says, likewise. And now he's going to exhort the women to pray. And he's got 2 points. Women are not to use their feminine wiles. They're not to use their clothes and their adornment. And I want you to think about this. There's something called the power suit that women wear. I'm in charge of this company. See the power suit? We women, okay, let's be honest. We get some of our security by our clothes. And, you know, none of us comes to this Bible study wearing sackcloth. There's a reason for that. We don't want to look out of style. We, you know, bad hair days, right? Are bad hair days the worst days? I mean, I remember having a bad hair day, and I was just like, these people all think that I'm like the neighborhood weirdo because of my hair. I mean, it was just, you know. It's one of those times I meant to wash it. I didn't get a chance. I got called out, and I'm like, they probably think I shouldn't be the mother of my children because of the bad hair. We take a lot of security in our hair. We take a lot of security in our clothes. We do. We do. I mean, there's nothing like a new outfit for an insecure place we have to go. There's nothing like that. That, you know, and so we try on 30 pairs of jeans just to find the one pair of jeans that makes us look 5 pounds thinner than we are. You know, we're women. We do this. He says, do not do it by feminine wiles, by dressing to draw attention to yourself. He talked about not using jewelry. See, a lot of women wear jewelry like, see, I'm of value. I'm of worth. This shows I'm important. I'm rich. I have power. I can influence people. He says, this is not the way to do it. Women are to find their identity, their value, their power in godliness. This is in their connection to God. And their fruit is to be the good works that flow from prayer, their connection with God. Their influence is their connection with God. Therefore, women are to learn, menthanos. They are to learn about God so they can grow spiritually. They're to learn in quietness. That word in quietness means to be without interruption or disruption. They're supposed to learn, just receive. It's like what James said in James chapter 1, that we are to receive the engrafted word, the word of God, with meekness. Meekness is, I need it. I'm receptive. Women are to learn with receptivity. Women are to listen like Mary at the feet of Jesus, who heard akouros, his word. She heard it with understanding. Women are not to seize power. That word here for, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority. That word authority have authority, it's actually a phrase, and it means to seize authority over a man, but to be quieted or at rest. Women are not to seize power or to try to lead or usurp power over men. Why would Paul say this? Because when women are afraid, they try to seize control. Believe it or not, you do. I know you. And you know how I know you? I'm one of you. And when I am scared, I want to drive the car even if I don't know where we're going or the way to get there. Just let me have the wheel. Let me put the pressure on the gas pedal. Let me know where the brake is. We try to seize power. You know, they say that most fights between husbands and wives are on one of two issues, control and money. And the money issue is really who's got control of the money. So it's back to control. It's back to control. And we control because we're scared, because we don't trust, right? And so he's saying, trust God. Trust God. Peter talks about this when he says that we are to be like Sarah, who trusted God. And he says, without fear, she trusted God. We can deny that we want to seize power, but it's absolutely true. We can deny that there are gender distinctions, and I know culture is doing this. In fact, right now, it came down from Sacramento that all department stores are not to segregate the boys' toys from the girls' toys. That's going to really confuse Barbie. It's just like, you know, all that does is complicate our lives. It doesn't do anything. I mean, obviously, this lesson is for me too. In mankind's rebellion to God, he is losing his glory and becoming the beast he feels so related to. Personally, I don't believe this is a prohibition against women teaching men. I was once taken to task for teaching Sunday school to 5-year-old boys because they were going to grow up and be men. And I will tell you the truth. I teach first and second grade every other Sunday, and there are boys in that class. And I am hoping to inspire them to love Jesus. And get this, I teach them Bible stories. I do. And I believe I am totally under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit when I do it. This is all about seizing power. Because otherwise, why learn? Why learn? In Titus chapter 2, before Paul says he wants the older women to teach the younger women, he said, I want the older women to be godly so they could be teachers of good things. You know what I am? I want to be a teacher of good things. And you know what the good thing is? Jesus! That's what I asked my Sunday school kids. What's the good thing? They answer Jesus no matter what the question is. Jesus. So I always try to make the answer Jesus so everyone gets it right. Jesus. My own father grew up under the ministry of Amy Simple McPherson, and she is the reason that my grandparents got saved. This scripture is informing us on the right use of our gender, that we are to pray, to learn, to exemplify godliness, and to practice good works. Isn't it funny how our mind always goes to what we're not supposed to do instead of to what we're supposed to do? We're always like, not to teach, quietness, like the worst word a woman could hear, quietness. And we're never focusing, and we're not focusing enough on what we're to do. We're to pray, we're to learn, we're to exemplify godliness, we're to practice good works. Paul states, I do not allow. He doesn't say, this is a faithful saying. Remember, he used that phrase. He doesn't say, I command you. He doesn't say, I charge you. He is telling Timothy something that Timothy didn't know before. This is unique to this epistle and to this situation. Otherwise, Paul would say, I command, I charge, this is a faithful saying. But he's saying, I do not allow. This was something that Timothy did not know about Paul. Paul is telling Timothy something that Timothy had not seen practiced by Paul. Timothy knew Priscilla, and he must have known about Paul's co-labor with women, godly women that we learn about in Romans 16 and Philippians 4. But Paul is telling Timothy, you are the pastor. You are the leader. Maintain your leadership and your pastorate, and don't let a woman seize control and try to take over the church in Ephesus. You are the pastor. I know pastors' wives who try to seize control and say, let me preach and let me tell the people, and you're not doing a good enough job. That is what he is saying. You're the pastor. I once had a woman who really felt she was supposed to take over the Joyful Life ministry. And I'm going to tell you, she went to my dad with all her feminine wiles when my dad was at a very, very weak place and said, I just want to do another Bible study at Calvary that's more like Kay. More like Kay than Cheryl, seriously. And I remember, and then she tried to seize the authority. And I remember just saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I'm here because mom asked me, and I feel by your appointment, but if I'm not the person, then I will give it up. And my mom had already had the dementia. And somebody said, you need to call your mom. I'm like, I can't. I don't know that she would understand. And she said, I'm really feeling strongly. You need to call your mom. So I called my mom, and my mom was in her right mind, and she understood everything. And she said, oh, no, 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 no. I know that woman, and I know you. God has called you. He has anointed you, and I'm going to call your father right now. Now get this. While all this is going on, this dove comes and lands right next to me. And I'm trying to move over from the dove, and the dove comes right next to me. And so I move over more, and I'm talking, and I'm like, this dove won't leave me alone. So I get up. I'm like fleeing from the dove. And I go over and I walk over, you know, by the high school offices to get away from the dove. You know what the dove does? It follows me. And it's on the railing. I'm leaning on the railing. I'm talking to my dad. My dad says, honey, I just talked to your mom. He called me. He was in his office. I'm right there. But I like, what if he says, I'm giving it to the cute one. You're out. She's in. You know, I didn't know. It was just such a precarious time. And here's this dove, like, won't leave me alone. I'm like, go away. I'm talking to my dad. Go away, dove. And it won't leave me. It just stays there, this dove. And the situation was taken care of when she was told, no, we're not going to have a competing Bible study at Calvary. We all need to be on the same page as women. She turned lethal. I mean, seriously, so mean. But there's that dove. And I caught off the phone and I was talking to my friend. I said, this dove won't leave me alone. What is going on? She's like, Cheryl, the Holy Spirit is with you, and that's a sign that he's for you. And I'm like, little dove, little dove. I was like, what? Here I am trying to get away from the dove. And I've never had a dove do that to me since. I had a raven do it to me once, but this was a dove. But I was junior high and I needed that raven. But this was a dove. So women are to learn, to be informed, to grow in knowledge, to master the knowledge of, to be instructed, trained for use. Going back to the original order, Adam was created first. I want to say this. I'm so sorry. Eve was created. I'm on my last page. You'll be so happy. Eve was created in order to complement Adam, or to make him whole, a whole person, to give the other half, not to dominate, not to be the leader, but to be by his side. Adam was purposeful in his sin, but Eve was deceived. Genesis 3:13, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Eve was honest with the Lord. Adam blamed Eve, and God didn't like that. Paul is stating the reason women are not to seize authority over men, because it's not the order God intended. Women fell into transgression unintentionally. She believed the lie. Women do not have a lower place, but women, by the rabbis in Paul's time, were blamed for death and for the fall. Some rabbis taught and practiced that women were to march in front of the coffin at a funeral because they brought death into the world. So every funeral, you would have the women. This is the reason that person died. That woman, her great-great-grandmother, she ate. She's the cause. The rabbis also taught that women menstruated because Eve shed Adam's blood. And so every month they were reminded of the blood that they shed, that they killed Adam. And they were to light the Sabbath lights because they extinguished the light in Adam's soul. This was the rabbinic teaching in Paul's time. So what does Paul say? Paul says, Eve is not responsible for the fall. Adam is. Because Adam did it willfully. Paul was actually elevating women and removing the curse of sin. Rather than women bringing death into the world, God used and uses women to bring life into the world. That's what the childbearing is. Women bring life into the world. And it was by a woman that the ultimate life was brought into the world, which is Jesus Christ, which is evidenced by faith in Jesus, agape, fruit of the Spirit, love, holiness, becoming like Jesus, and self-control, not seizing power, but resting in Jesus. Let me read you the message, and I'll only read you verses 8 through 15. Since prayer is at the bottom of all this, what I want mostly is for men to pray, not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. And I want women to get in there with the men in humility before God, not primping before a mirror or chasing the latest fashions, but doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful doing it. I don't let women take over and tell the men what to do. They should study to be quiet and obedient along with everyone else. Adam was made first, then Eve. Woman was deceived first, our pioneer in sin, with Adam right on her heels. On the other hand, her childbearing brought forth salvation, reversing the curse of Eve. But this salvation only comes to those who continue in faith, love, and holiness, gathering it all into maturity. You can depend on this. Bottom line, we need to give up our carnal weapons and seek by prayer to move men, that all men and women would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let our priority be prayer and the salvation of souls rather than a moral culture that masks a generation that is steeped in sin and going to hell in a handbasket. That's a quote of my mother's. Rather than violence and uprising in the name of Jesus, rather than moving men and women further from salvation, let us pray and seek the Lord of heaven. Let us use this incredible power he has given to us by his life, his death, and his resurrection and ascension, resulting in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have power. We've got the power. But to use it and to see it displayed, we need to. I'm glad you five heard. We need to commit to pray. And if we will commit to pray, God will commit to work.
Prayer is our connection to God. It is our spiritual lifeline. Through it, we cry out to God for help. We intercede for others. We seek God's guidance and wisdom, and we fight our spiritual battles. As we pray, we lay down our weapons and engage with God's power in our situations. When we pray and surrender our ways, we receive from God and give Him room to work. If we commit to pray, God will commit to work, and we will see His power displayed on our behalf. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look at the qualifications for leaders as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the first epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.